You know what that music means? Bill's favorite time of the week, actually.
It's one of my favorites because I learn from this, Wendy. There's things I just don't understand, and I learn from this.
It's a Tech Tuesday, and Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor, is here to put it all into perspective and help us figure out what's going on in the world. We mentioned this earlier today, Bridget, and we're all reading all over the internet that even though you don't enable your location, Google Maps, which I use all the time, is still following me and knows my whereabouts, and should I be worried?
All right. Well, it is upsetting, but when you think you have a setting turned off, there are other secret settings that you don't know about that are still turned on, and things aren't just clear. This is something called location history, because right now, like by default, your Android or iPhone, it's gonna track where you've been throughout the day, and of course, Google says it does that to, you know, really cater the experience, like what you would like. And honestly, I just turn that stuff off. But what you might not realize is that there's a separate additional way that they're still tracking you, even if it's off. If you're paying to check the weather, if you're doing a Google search for anything, it's trying to see where you are during that search. If you just any little thing that might be a Google tool, it's just going, ping, where are you? Let me see. And then that is in the background still being used. So you don't have to, if this bothers you, it's annoying, but you can still turn this off by taking another step. You have to go to something, and I have to look up the exact phrase. I think it's called web and apps. Yeah, web and apps. And then in that settings, in that category, web and app activity, you have to then turn off that level of tracking. And they go, well, you won't get all the ads. Well, I don't care. That's okay.
No, you won't get the ads. Who wants the ads anyway?
I mean, it's... It sounds for some people I talk to who don't care. They go, well, I do want ads to be customized to me because then I have a better experience. And usually younger interns I talk to who say this, who really don't like think of anything wrong about tracking or they just don't have enough life experience to ever care. Like, true, tracking, who cares, you know? But there are some privacy weird moments. And I think it's because time and time again, these companies play fast and loose with our data. And something can come about that you don't realize that, you know, maybe someone's not thinking in the best way of, you know, of how to use that data, because they're going to target and profile you, you know, and what that means and what you see on the internet based on where you live. And I don't really know how that information would be sold to just anybody. I don't know what third parties also have this information, because that's how Google makes their money, right? You know, they take, oh, you live in this place, you're like eating at that restaurant, and who are you sending that to? You know, so if you're like me and you want to be really, really protective about this stuff, you can turn it all off. Or if it doesn't really bother you, then go ahead and just leave it on. But at least you know. At least you know that even if you've turned location history off in your maps, other Google apps can still track your history, can still track your location at certain times of the day.
Bridget, considering what just happened with Facebook and their selling of information, should we be concerned that Google's doing something with this information, the constant tracking of its users? Is there something similar coming down the line with them, do you think?
That's the kind of stuff I had in my mind when I say turn things off. It's not that something is going to come out, but it's more like, sometimes I think it's a matter of when. You know, when you have these companies who make money by sharing your information with third-party advertisers, we don't know exactly how those folks are going to use it ethically or not. There was just a recent report in ProPublica that said insurance companies are using this ad data in some cases to see, ooh, Bill, did you go to the store and buy gummy bears? You are not healthy. Oh, you don't have a membership to a gym either? Maybe I'll charge you differently for your insurance. You know, that's the kind of world we're kind of heading into that, well, I don't like.
Bridget, here's something scarier with insurance. They could say you got from point A to point B faster than the speed limit would allow, so we're going to charge you more for insurance because you're obviously driving very, very fast.
Now you're thinking like a paranoid tech reporter. Yes.
Yay.
See, I don't care if anybody knows where I am, but then you think about it, if I ever commit a crime.
If.
I've never committed a crime. But that's something, too. Like, police can't just search your phone, can they?
I think they can.
I think they need a search warrant.
Yeah?
they can go to Google with that link and gather all the information that all the, that they've collected. So yes, this is in the same realm of like, okay, so, you know, could someone have a warrant? Could someone track me? Could someone, you know, just think I'm, you know, profile me and everyone who's like done a certain thing. And you don't, it's a weird feeling, you know, that you're just trying to look at the weather and suddenly there's information about you in some server that can be subpoenaed. You know, it's just a little weird.
See, now I have a use for it. Cause you can go into the Google and find out, you know, where someone was. Cause we got a red light ticket.
Yeah.
And it's definitely our car and our license plate. And I don't think I was there. And Jim denied it. And even my kids are like, does it look like Dad? I go, you can't see who's in there.
Yeah.
Finally, Jim fessed up. Oh, yeah, I guess it was me. But that's something you could go back and check locations on a phone number, right?
It could be to your benefit in those cases, too. Exactly. But then again, that's a lot of effort that someone would have to go through, and, you know, for, you know, certain issues. I don't know about traffic tickets.
It's a $100 ticket.
But yeah, there you go. It is possible. Yes.
So the bottom line is this could be good, but it could be bad. It's somewhere on
the... Like the internet.
Yeah, it's like the internet. It's good and bad at the same time. Yeah.
All right. We always talk we talk about iPhones, and iPhones are pretty expensive. But now Samsung has a new event. Tell us about that.
Well, they just had one last week, and they just announced a whole bunch of products. They got their new Note 8 phone. It's on sale now, but it lands on the 24th. And this is their extra large screen that has a stylus pen. It really didn't have any whiz-bang different look about it, but it had a whiz-bang price of $1,000. So welcome to the world where top-of-the-line phones now cost $1,000, just like the iPhone X.
Wasn't that a benefit of Samsung, though, Bridget, that it wasn't as expensive, so a lot of people were using it instead of the iPhone, and once they use it, they love it?
I mean, Samsung has so many phones that, yes, there still are less expensive phones, and people love it, and it's just they're trying to kind of show that this is for the power user. You know, we have a stylus built in that snaps right in and out, and you can do more work by writing on the screen, and so they're kind of just heading in that territory now that the iPhone stepped in first. I think that consumers may be a little more hesitant now to, like, upgrade right away. They might wait to the next one. I think next year, we're at a funny stage right now. When it comes to especially with Samsung phones, there's been a lot of talk, and they themselves have said, they're working on some great new technology for phones. Having a fingerprint scanner in the screen itself, not on some sort of little special button area. Being able to fold a phone, we've talked about that, and Samsung says they're working on it. These things could come out next year, so why would you want to just dump $1,000 unless you needed a phone when you're like, oh, maybe we need it in a year. So it is a funny space right now. Samsung also showed off, they have a new watch called the Galaxy Watch, and they also showed off a speaker, just like how there's, you know, the Apple speaker that talks with Siri, and Amazon has its Echoes with Alexa. Samsung's like, oh, hey, us too. We want to be in the mix with something called Bixby. And so if you really are into Samsung products, they have their own assistant called Bixby. And the speaker itself, to me and to a lot of folks, wasn't exactly something that was really cool looking. In fact, it looked kind of like a witch's cauldron, I would say.
Just in time for Halloween.
It had three pegs to it. It looked kind of like a grill in some cases, you know, and it's just big. But, hey, okay, Samsung is getting in the game, too.
All right, well, Bill's going to get it just because of Bixby, and I wonder if one of the higher echelons...
Big Bill Bixby fan, huge. Yeah,
I wonder.
Yep.
All right, well, cool. Thank you for the update on what's going on this Tech Tuesday. And if people want to find you, where's the best way to find you?
Oh, always on CNET.com, doing something.
Perfect.
Thanks,
thank
Bridget.
You.
Have a good week.
All right, thanks, you too.
That's Bridget Carey from CNET.
Who might need a better phone?
How ironic.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, sometimes, and I notice we're in the high rise now, so sometimes you have to go by a window. Have you ever been on the phone with somebody and they say, well, I can't hear you? You got to go stand
by a
window.
And it works? I didn't know that.
So maybe next week we got to tell her to stand by a window.
All right.
That might help.
Yeah, that'll work. All right. We'll do a quick break and then some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.